This is Forrest Elise interviewing Jerry DiCola.
Yes.
Okay. June 21st in 2016 at 10 a.m. for the Creative Push Project. All right. So if you could introduce yourself like you did, that would be great.
Okay. My name is Jerry DiCola. I am a member of the Tonto Apache tribe in Payson, Arizona.
Can you speak up a little bit? Like the way you were before.
Oh, okay. Great. All right. Yeah. You're going to cut and...
Yeah,
send,
we'll
okay.
make it gorgeous.
Okay. Shall I start over?
Please.
Okay. My name is Jerry DiCola. I'm a member of the Tonto Apache tribe in Payson, Arizona. I was born in 1950 on a cold fall morning, my mother says. And I was born and raised in Payson. Have lived here almost all my life. And I've seen the growth. And I was blessed with four children. My first one was born September the 14th, 1970. And her name was Vanessa. And she used to tell me that her name was a Greek name, and it meant butterflies. So it's sad that I lost my firstborn, my Vanessa, on August the 27th of 2006. And it seemed like my heart was shattered in a million pieces when she passed. She died from septic shock syndrome. And the doctor had told her that they'd done all they could for her and that she was going to die. And she said she had a dog that she loved dearly, like a child. She was married, but she never had any kids. She had one miscarriage. But she loved the dog like it was her baby. And the first things out of her mouth when they told her she was going to die, that they've done all they could, was, "What's going to happen to my Tipper?" And I told her, "Don't worry about Tipper. She's going to be okay. You need to worry about yourself and you know, say your prayers." And she had just been accepted to attend Scottsdale Culinary School. And her tuition had already been paid. Her rent was already... reserved for her. She already had a roommate. And lo and behold, we didn't know, this was going to happen, and neither did she. And, but she went downhill steadily. The body became septic against itself, and no matter what they did, there was no saving her.
Was she a planned baby? Were you trying to get pregnant when you got pregnant with
No. It just happened. No, through the natural course of things. No.
How was the pregnancy with her?
Wow, it was. It was long for me. I was only 18, 19 when I was pregnant with her, so I didn't know what to expect at that time. My mother, she really didn't guide me as to what to expect, so I kind of, it was all new to me, as with, I'm sure, all mothers. But it was long, and I had, my legs would swell, I remember, and I'd have to have it propped up and everything, and when it was time for her to be born, I was taken to the hospital and admitted, I guess because it was being my first, the labor was very hard and very intensive, and I was getting impatient, and they had to give me a sedative or a shot to calm me down, I remember. And because I'd tell the nurses and the doctors, get out of here, leave me alone. I remember my mother telling me, no, calm down, they're trying to help you. And then, I don't know, I guess I must have kind of went off the deep, because my mother said I tried to crawl over the railing, and because I wanted to leave. I don't know if it was due to the pain that I was going through or whatever, but anyway, eventually they calmed me down and she was born, and I woke up and there was my baby girl.
Was your partner there?
I gotta get a tissue.
Okay.
Okay, excuse me. Her dad's name was Van, so we named her Vanessa.
It's really loud. We're just going to wait for a second.
That's it.
Did someone win something?
They went into, yeah, they did.
Okay. Okay, that's better.
So he said, we'll name her Vanessa after me and May after my mother, he said. So she was named Vanessa May Johnson. And my...
Just wait for that to pass again. Oh, sorry about that.
Okay. Now you can ask me questions.
Sure. Did you know you were going to have a girl?
No, I didn't, because at, you know, those days back in 1970, I didn't know about the ultrasound or any way that they could detect the, you know, the baby's sex or anything. So, no, I didn't know.
How did you feel about it when you found out?
I was happy.
Wait for a second.
Oops.
Well,
do you want to go outside or? Or is this?
Do you want to go outside?
That might be better.
Yeah, we could just sit in front of the boat.
Okay.
And then you'd warm up. That's right. Okay, so if you can take us back to when you gave birth, mm-hmm. and then did you say that you had passed out during the labor?
Well, I think I might have, because I remember they said that they had to use the forceps because I was not, I don't remember what the word, cooperating, or maybe I just gave up, so to speak, you know, quit. You know how they say push, push, push. And so I remember she had a little bruise right here because of the forceps that they used to bring her out. Yes. And,
we'll just pause whenever the doors open and close.
Okay. This is not really very good, is it?
No, but you know what? It's fine.
Mm-hmm,
We've done this in a car. We've done this in all different circumstances.
Oh,
so we're pros at this. Okay. So so you were given your baby girl,
mm-hmm.
and what were your thoughts? Were you hoping for a girl?
I was pleased that she was a girl. Yes, yes. I was happy that I had a healthy baby girl.
Were you planning on nursing?
Yes, I did. I nursed her, but eventually I had to, she wouldn't drink enough. And then at the time I didn't know about the breast pumps or anything to store the milk. So I ended up just putting her on the formula. And yeah, it's very distracting.
Do you want to go? Let's go try the other room then, mm-hmm. that bingo room, mm-hmm. and then we'll mm-hmm. I know you probably don't have much time.
I don't have much time because I'm waiting, you know, because I'm...
All, if you want to talk about all four mm-hmm. births,
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about, like, the time of conception, you mm-hmm. know, if the birth was planned,
mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, how you're emotionally, how your feelings mm-hmm. were, what your circumstances were.
Yes.
The birth process, and then,
let's
like,
see.
Afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And then you can tell us, you know, what the, like, the outcome, like, the, you know, what you were saying about
mm-hmm. okay.
your daughter passing
mm-hmm.
and how that felt. But I think it really does, I don't know, I think it's...
Okay. With Jolene, we had Vanessa, our firstborn. And so my husband says, well, maybe we need to have another baby, you know, before Vanessa gets older. She was like 2 years old, so we said, okay. So we tried for 3 years, and I would carry, like, I've had probably 4 miscarriages during that time. And so finally I said, you know what, that's okay. We, you know, probably just have Vanessa, and then wham, it happens. So we were looking forward to Jolene's birth, and had even picked up a name. If it was going to be, of course, we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or girl, but we had picked up the name Jolene for a girl. At the time, Dolly Parton's famous song "Jolene, Jolene" was very popular. So, and I loved Dolly Parton, and I loved the song. So we said we'll name her Jolene if it's a girl. If it's a boy, we'll call him Jeffrey. My husband had a best friend named Jeffrey, so we said, okay. And then as time went on, then we found out that it was a girl. So we had a whole, we started buying baby clothes, but baby girl clothes, and then my friends were giving me some baby girl clothes, and we were ready to receive her into our life. And so the day came when I went into labor, and we were excited, and... to the hospital we went. I was admitted, and as, of course, you know, they prep you at the time, and I was in the process of delivery when the doctor says, hold it, the umbilical cord is starting to come out first. And he said, call another surgeon to come and help me because we were going to have to do an emergency C-section because the cord was wrapped around her neck. And I thought, oh my God, and I panicked. And my husband and I both, you know, we didn't know what to do, but the doctor told me, hold off. And then he said, we are going to have to do a C-section, Jerry. He said, we don't know. We're going to try to save her, but there's no guarantee, but we will do it right away. So they wheeled me into the surgery and gave me a shot, and that's all I remembered. And so the next day, I think it was probably, might have been 24 hours or more later, I came to, and I looked to the side of my bed, and I said, my husband was sitting there, and I said, where's the baby? And the doctor was over here on this side and took my hand, and he said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. We weren't able to save her. And I remembered that I started to cry and broke down, and they had to give me a shot to come in because I became hysterical. And anyway, I was in a fog for about a week, in and out. You know, every time, you know, I'd start to cry. And then by the third day, they told me, they said, you have to try to come back. Don't just go back into the deep void that you were in. My husband talked to me, and they said, you need to start walking, because at the time they cut me, you know. And they said, you have to, in order for you to heal, start walking, try to do what you can. But for a week, I was in a daze, and then my mom came to see me, and she talked to me, and she told me, she said, there'll be other babies, so please come back. And all the time, and they buried my baby Jolene while I was still in the hospital. And in what looked to be like a little star on my chest, I saw the pictures. And my husband said she was a beautiful girl. She had a head full of black hair and perfect in every way. And
I can't imagine.
That was not to be. And that was so hard, difficult, but with the support of my family, my friends, my husband especially, and I think our church people, I made it. We were able to go on. And sometimes I wonder about her. I told my husband, I said, one night I had a dream, I was wondering about her. I said, I wonder what Jolene would look like if I were to see her. And that night in my dream, I saw a beautiful, slender young lady, dark skin like me, long black hair down to her waist, and, you know, I got a glimpse of her. I thought that was so awesome. And then after Jolene, again, we tried to get pregnant, and we did. She was still born July 14, 1975. So we said, well, you know, if God is meant for us to have another child, then he will bless us with one. And so at that time, my first husband and I, we were, you know, church-going believers. We went to church, and I didn't take no more birth control pills. It was all natural, and we still tried to get pregnant, but I couldn't for some reason again. And then one morning, on a Sunday, we were sitting in church, and the minister was preaching, and he stops, and he goes, Mark, come forth. And everybody looks at the two doors, and I was sitting there, and then he calls me. He said, come up. He said, what did you feel when I called Mark? And I said, I felt something in my stomach move. And he goes, the Lord has showed me that you are pregnant with a boy, 3 months, and his name is going to be Mark, and he's going to be used of God, and he's going to be a prophet of God. And I go, and he said, and the Lord told me to tell you that he has healed you from the cut that you have had that you couldn't have this child naturally. And I go, oh my God, that's incredible, unbelievable. So I was so grateful, and my husband and I, we were happy, we were excited. And so, of course, his name was going to be Mark. Okay, go 6 months later. One day during lunch, I had fixed lunch for my husband, and I got up to go feed him, dish the food out for him. My water broke. And, oh, wow, I never, you know, knew that water could come out so much like that. He had to get a towel and put it between my legs, and he rushed me to the doctor. He forgot all about his lunch. And then they went on to the hospital where they admitted me. And at the hospital, because of my previous C-section with Jolene, which is what they did to me, I don't know if I shared that, but anyway, yes, with Jolene was a C-section. And the doctor told me, he said, you are at risk if you want to have the child naturally because of the cut that you have had before. It could rupture you, both you and the baby could die. And I said, you know, I said, I was prophesied to about my son and that God had healed me to have him naturally, so I'm going to keep my faith and believe that it is going to be a natural birth. Oh, Jerry, he said, are you sure of the risks that you're taking? And I said, yes. Well, I want you to sign this, that, you know, you're going to relieve us of any liability should that happen, what I'm telling you. So I did. And he said, but we want to also prepare you in case we have to rush you to surgery. Would you do that? And I said, well, okay. So I signed that. So they put IVs in me as I was getting contractions. At 12:30, at noon was when I was admitted, and my contractions got harder and harder. And then at 4:10, it was 4:10. My son Mark was born. But prior to that, before he was born, the doctor was checking me, and he said, "Oh, Jerry," he said, "the baby's breech. He's coming out feet first. We have to have that C-section. We have to do the C-section." And I said, "No." He said, "He's already in the birth canal, so he can't be turned around." I said, "No." I said, "We're just going to go ahead and do it naturally as we can." And, oh, talk about pain. I never felt so much pain as it was having him. But he was born at 4:10, and his arm got lodged as he was coming out, so his arm used to be a little twisted, and I used to be concerned about that. And to make matters worse, he didn't cry when he was supposed to cry, you know, when they spank him and stuff. And so they had to watch him. They had a nurse that sat with him right there by my bed because I wouldn't let him out of my sight. And pretty soon we'd hear a little, eh, eh, eh. And then he got louder and louder and louder. And then they said, oh, we're relieved. He's going to be okay. And so because of the first little squeaky noises he made, I said, he sounded like a little tiger. So that's what we nicknamed him, was Tiger. And he had that nickname Tiger until he went into high school. And he said, Mom, you know, you can call me Mark now. So, but Mark was such a special child. One time he was probably about 10 months old, just crawling. My husband and I went cutting up on the White Mountain Apache Reservation, and we had a pickup truck, and I was loading. My husband was up there loading, sawing the logs, like about this big, and throwing it down. He'd say, log coming, wood coming, and I'd say, okay, go ahead. And then when I was in the back of the truck, Mark had crawled up over in the way of where the logs were being thrown. And I was in the back of a truck, and I heard my husband say, log coming down. And I go, wait, no, too late. He had already thrown it. And there was my Mark sitting right there playing in the dirt. And I froze in the back of the truck. My husband started running, trying to catch the log that was coming down in big piece. But he couldn't. And had it, a miracle happened. Right as it was going to take one more roll, and he would have rolled over Mark. It stopped downhill. I believe it was an angel of the Lord that had stopped it. And Oh, I jumped out, and my husband already had him in his arms, and we just stood there, and we just start crying, you know, because we witnessed a miracle. I'll never forget that. Incredible. And with Mark, he was about 5 years old, no, four years old, and he could not learn how to tie his shoestring. You know, he'd work. I worked with him for 2 weeks. We worked diligently. He could not get it. One day, I, out of sheer frustration, I told him, I said, son, why don't you pray and ask the Lord to help you to learn to tie your shoes, okay? Okay, Mom. So he went to bed. Early next morning, it's Saturday morning. We always slept in. About 6 o'clock, he comes in our bedroom, shaking me. Mom, look. What? And groggy. And he puts on his shoes and he ties it. And I go, what? Do it again. So he puts on his shoes and he ties it again. Big old smile on his face. And I woke my husband up. Look. And we were just amazed. And I asked him, I said, how did you do that? He said, I did what you told me to do. I prayed last night and asked God to show me how to tie my shoestring. He said, and these two hands came. And it talked to me and told me how to do it. And I did it exactly like what it showed me to do. And he said, and I go, wow. So, you know, that's amazing. And Mark, he was such a strong young man. And, you know, even when his dad and I, we, you know, ended up getting a divorce due to me growing, you know, separate ways and stuff. But before that, Steve was born. Before our divorce, Stephen was born. I was getting ahead of myself here. And I was taking birth control pills then at the time because, you know, I had a boy and a girl. Jolene was gone, but I had Vanessa and Mark. So we said, well, we think that's enough. So, and then plus I was getting into the work, you know, as a working woman, you know, I was going back to work and had a job, gainful job. So I thought, well, I don't need a child anymore. You know, I got my two, so I'm happy. But I was on the pill, and I ended up getting pregnant with Steve. And I had mixed feelings about that because here I wanted to work, and now, you know, both Vanessa and Marco are in school, and I was going to be a working mother, and little Steve with a baby at the home, you know, it kind of would prohibit me from working again. So I go, oh gosh, I had mixed feelings about that. But when he was born, he was so lovable, so precious, that I ended up working part-time. And then plus Grandma stepped to the plate and said, I'll take care of him. And so she did. And not only that, but my daughter Vanessa, she was 13 at the time, so she took on the responsibility of taking care of her brother during the summer times, and he ended up calling her mom, his sister. And I said, no, that's your sissy, I'm your mom. He goes, no, get my mom. That was so precious. But so as a mother, I've had, you know, different experiences. I faced the loss of three of my kids, and I am grateful that I had them, and I still have Mark. Stephen, my son, he's 32 now, and the other kids, they'll always be part of my heart, my memory. But when I lost them, I found that what was helpful for me was when I would keep busy by, I'd go out in my yard and pull weeds. Whenever I got depressed or would kind of fall back and not want to do anything, I would make myself go and do something. And my prayer life is probably what helped me the most. So, and I wrote a poem about one day when I was with my husband. He had the sciatica problems, so we went down to Mesa. And I was waiting in the truck, and I'm thinking, you know, think about my kids. And I thought about that, the scripture where it says, lay not your treasures on earth where moth corrupt and thieves break in and things. So I thought, wow, treasures, what is a treasure? And I thought, treasures are something that you hold dear to your heart, that you love. And I said, I have four treasures. I got three of them in heaven. So that's what prompted me to write a poem that I want to share with you, if you want to read it.
Absolutely. Do you want to read it on record for us?
Okay, sure. So this is written by Jerry DiCola, mother, on February the 9th of 2009. And it's called My Treasures. Scripture tells us, on earth do not lay up your treasures, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in. What is a treasure? It could be worldly possessions, material goods, or something we deeply treasure. Today I have three precious treasures waiting for me in that awesome place that eyes on earth have not seen, that beautiful place called heaven. There my three priceless jewels now reside with him, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. First gone, my second precious baby, Jolene, who I carried but never saw, stillborn she was, went with Jesus on July 14, 1975. Then my firstborn, my sweet beloved, Vanessa Sis, took flight with the angels early morning of August the 27th, 2006. Sis was so loving, beautiful, vibrant, so alive, delicious meals she loved to fix. Then unexpectedly, on November the 13th, 2008, my third born, their brother Mark Elijah, met them and joined them. My handsome, caring son, the gentle giant, who had a kind, loving heart and soul, was ever so thoughtful, not ever defiant. All three, upon their departure, one by one, left my heart in pain, unbearable grief, sorrow, void, my heart broken in a million pieces, it seemed. But only by God's grace I am daily reminded our separation will be but brief. Each day I give thanks to our loving Father God, for he gave them to me for many seasons, and with them have made unforgettable and precious memories. Father God has blessed me with the three he has called home, plus one more, my youngest, and I'm ever so grateful to Father God for the precious gem I still have here on earth with me, my dear precious son Stephen. Who better not think of leaving? At least not yet, I plead. In spite of our loss, pain, sorrow, and the many tears Stephen's son and I have cried, because of Jesus, we, mother, son, and brother, once again have hope, love, and peace. We are thankful for the precious jewels, our treasures, who are awaiting our arrival soon in that beautiful paradise. I know one day all of us will meet again in beautiful heaven, where no tears of pain, shame, or sorrow will ever dim the eye, nor will we ever part again. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's beautiful.
That's my poem that I wrote for my kids.
Yeah, that's lovely.
But...
Excuse. No.
I just. No tissue. Oh. Yeah. I can go run to the restroom. I had a tissue.
Much loss, but you've also experienced a lot of joy. It sounds too.
Yeah. My son, Mark. Was man of the took over as the man of the house when his father and I divorced, and of course, you know, being a divorced single parent, my young son Stephen was always challenging me, and after work I come home and I tell him, "What, did you take the garbage out? Did you take the trash out?" And he says, "Why don't you do it yourself?" And his older brother Mark heard him. And he got up and he came up to his little brother and said, "What did you say to Mom?" He said, "I told her, why don't you do it herself?" And Mark, he stands to his brother, little brother, and said, "Don't you ever talk to Mom like that again. You go and take that trash out like she told you to do." And he goes, okay, I'm sorry. So from that moment on, then I knew that, you know, Mark was going to be the man of the house and that he's going to make sure that his little brother did what he was told. So one time, again, I had asked Stephen to do something and he smarted off at me. And I said, I had to call Mark. And he goes, okay, I'll do it. But those two were inseparable. So when my Marcus son passed, his little brother kind of drew into a shell. And he just was, you know, not even, he wouldn't even talk to me. He just clammed up. But he, and now he tells me, he said, my brother was my best friend. And he was my confidant. And he was my companion. And he said, there's nothing that I wouldn't have done for my brother. And he knew it. Everybody knew it. They were the closest ever. And I remember one time I had a friend that was staying with me. And he said, Jerry, he said, I've never seen two brothers that care and love each other so much as your two boys. And I go, well, why? I mean, why are you saying that? He goes, when Mark was not feeling good, Mark was laying on the couch, and Steve came over and sat down by him, and he sat down and he lifted his brother's head and put it in his lap, and had a wet cloth put over his head, and he was just stroking his brother, he said. He said, and I've never seen that, especially among Indian men. He said, they don't demonstrate that kind of care or love for each other. He said, but your boys are an exception. You did a good job. And I said, oh, thank you. But I remember when I was sick, that Steve, my youngest one, would come in and give me a wet washcloth, put it on my forehead, and he even made me some Campbell's soup. Warmed it up and gave it to me. But, you know, but then I remember, too, that's how I took care of him when he was sick. You know, so he was giving me the same treatment that I gave to him, the same love, the same caring and affection. But my Marcus son, he worked in surveillance here, and I used to go into the gift shop. They used to be right there, and they had the silver beads, and I used to look at it almost every day. And this was around Christmas time, and one day I walk in the shop and the necklace was gone. I go, oh my God, what happened to the necklace? They said, somebody came and bought it. You should have got it when you had a chance. I go, oh, I know I should have. Fast forward, Christmas morning. We were opening gifts, the three of us, Mark, Stephen, and I. And we were all sharing, look what we got. And there was a little nicely wrapped gift. And I opened it up, and guess what was in there? My silver beads that I was looking for. That's how I thought somebody bought it. It was my son bought it for me for Christmas. But Mark was so caring. I still have a lot of jewelry that he has given me throughout the years. Silver and turquoise, bracelets, rings, necklace. And Steve is following in his brother's footsteps, and I'm grateful for that. He cooked dinner for us last night. Yes.
So Mark was really young when he passed.
Mark was 30. I think he had just turned 31 or 32.
Did he have a family of his own?
No. I'd always talked to my boys and told them, you know, because a lot of young people, a lot of young men were having babies out of wedlock, and some of them, you know, have kids with three different women. And I tell them, you boys are not to make any woman pregnant unless she's your wife. No kids with anybody unless she's your wife. And I said, I think I did too good a job because I don't have any grandkids of my own. And I'll be 66 here in October. Oh, but I am grandma by my first husband. He had kids, and their grandkids all call me grandma, so that's okay.
Well, but thank you so much for sharing. You know, mm-hmm. You have a really rich history, and
I just kind of talked about whatever came to mind, so I hope you can put it together.
No, it's very poetic. I think you did a lovely job. It's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
When you reflect back on your family history, and what does any word come to mind, or any phrasing of words?
No. I have to tell you, when I heard about my son passing, Mark passing. He was sick for the week during the weekend, and 5 days, I think he didn't feel good. So I finally told him, I said, you need to go to the doctor and have your brother take you, because my husband had a doctor's appointment in the valley that day that we got the news he died. So he said, okay. And The night before, or the night that he was going to pass, he had called me and he said, "Mom," he said, I do know about my appointment with the doctor tomorrow, so my brother will take me. He said, "You don't worry about me. You guys go on, and I know Jay's got an appointment at the doctor's." And he said, "I'll be okay." So I said, "Okay, son." I said, "Say a prayer for yourself before you go to sleep, okay?" "Okay." And then about half an hour later, the phone rang again, and he said, "Mom, I just called to tell you I love you." And I said, "I love you too." And that was the last word that he had told me. And I don't know if he knew that he was going to go. But then the next day we were on our way to Phoenix when my niece called me. We were past that road by Roosevelt Lake. And she told me, she said, "You need to come home right away. There's an emergency." And I go, "Oh no." I said, "What's happened?" But deep down I knew it was my son Mark. And I said, "Is it Mark?" And she goes, "Yes. I'll come home." And I go, "Oh." I said, "Oh." I lost it, and I started to scream, and my husband had to pull over, and he said, calm down. I go, "No." I said, "It's Mark, he's gone." And I said, how could it be? And on the way back, of all things, we ended up getting a flat tire, and my husband's back was hurting. That's the reason why we're going to the doctor. He couldn't even lift the tire out of the truck. And there I am screaming beside the road, you know, and crying. And there was a guy that was going to go towards Roosevelt Lake Turnoff, and he turned around and came back, and he helped us change the tire. And we offered him money, and he wouldn't take it. And I told my husband, I said, "I believe that was an angel of the Lord that came and, you know, knew how I was feeling, so he had to come and send help for us." But when we came home, there were people out on the patio, and I walked into the house, and they were just putting my son in the bag, and I only saw like from right here to here. He had long, beautiful hair. And they're putting him in the bag, and I guess I was so distraught that I was just crying and out of control, so my niece had to take me away and put me back, you know, take me home, and to give me a sedative to go to sleep. And we had a cat that, of all things, that we had adopted. It was a semi-feral, and he came to me, and he just laid with me, and I just hung on to him, and I cried and cried. And before that cat never was allowed to be in bed or in the house except for that one particular room. But my husband said, "I couldn't bear to make him go when, you know, you found so much comfort with him." So, and he says, "Guess what? Now he's taken over the house." And he does, Kona. But anyway, So Kona stayed with me, and then I was in and out. And then that evening, I was crying. I was so distraught, and I prayed. You know, I'm a praying woman. I'm a believer in God. And so that night I prayed. I said, "Lord, I want to know that my son made it up there with you." I said, "Please give me a sign. You see my heart's broken in 1,000 pieces." And so that's all I asked. And I went to bed, took a pill, went to bed, went to sleep. The next morning, his half-brother Calvin came, and he said, did Maria tell you about the dream she had about my brother last night?" And I go, "No, what dream is that?" And then he told me. And I said, "I got to call Maria." So I called Maria. Maria was not, she didn't know my son Mark, but she knows my son Stephen. They're kind of both, you know, the same in size. And so I asked Maria, and she said, "Yes, Jerry." She said, "I had a dream about Mark last night." She said, "In my dream, he was in the house, and all I could see was him from the waist up, but he was on a table or a bed. When I saw him, he was on that gurney thing. It looks like a table." And I said, go on. And she said, "And you were there, and other people were there, and they were crying." And he said, "And as I was looking at Mark, he opened his eyes, and he says, 'Where am I?' And he said, why is everyone crying? I'm okay. He said he always talked with his hand, and she said in her dream, she saw him go, I'm okay. Why is everyone crying? And she said, and then I went out looking for you. She said, and that was the end of my dream. And then about half an hour earlier, our neighbor from across the street, his name is Robert, he came smiling in, and he goes, how are you, Jerry? And I go, I'm distraught. I said, how do you expect me to be? He said, well, I got some news to share with you. And I go, well, what is it? He said, early this morning, about 4 o'clock, the Lord gave me a vision about Mark. And I go, really? And he goes, yes. And he said, in my vision, I saw Mark. He's up there. He made it. He was looking down on all the people that were crying. And he said, why is everyone crying? The same thing that Maria heard in her dream. And these two don't even know each other, Robert and Maria. And she said, he said, why is everyone crying? He said, Mark said, tell my mother that I love her. The very last words he told me. And that I am okay. And I just broke down and I go, oh Lord, this is just what I needed. So my prayer has helped me through all the loss of my children, my belief in God, because I've had many people, many mothers tell me, if that was me, I would have fallen off the deep end. And I probably would have too if I didn't have the Lord in my life. And I know at times that I would always wonder about him. You know, sometimes the enemy would torment my mind, say, well, Mark didn't make it, so how do you know? You know, it was just only these two. And so one Saturday, I said, Lord, I know that you had already showed me through two different people that my son Mark made it up there with you. Lord, please give me one last sign. This would be the third time, and I'll never ask again. And I prayed that prayer on a Saturday night. The next Sunday, I was this Mexican lady and I were cooking fried bread, and she said, Jerry, she said, I had a strange dream about this native guy last night. And I go, really? She said, at first I thought it was Stephen because he was big and had long hair like him, but I took a closer look, and it wasn't Stephen. She said he was dressed in armor as within the army of the Lord. He had beautiful golden brownish black hair, long, and beautiful smile, and he was looking up. And I heard a voice say, this is my son, and I'm pleased with him. And she said, and I saw that. And so I said, Lord, who is this native? I don't know, you know, what it is that you want me to do. You want me to pray. So she said, Lord, who is this man? And she said, above him came the word M-A-R-K. And I said, my eyes got big. I said, Lizette, I said, that's my son. His name was Mark. Isn't that amazing? Goes to show you how the power of prayer, and that when God loves you, he answers your prayers. Nothing is impossible. So I'm so grateful that I have the Lord in my life, and I give him all the glory, the honor, and the praises for bringing me this far. There are times when I feel sad, but he always, you know, lets me be sad for a while, but then he always draws me out and says, you know, keep moving forward. And I had wrote a song called Jesus is the Waymaker. I play the guitar and I sing too, so if I have my guitar, I'd sing it for you. But yes, I've wrote another song also called Why Lord Why. And it was because of, you know, why do I feel the sadness? Why do I feel the, you know, like a pitiful pearl. And I set myself off into a world. And the Lord says, you know, just cast your cares upon me because I am with you. I am with you. I love you. And so I don't remember the words exactly because that was, I wrote that like about two years ago. But I love to sing and, you know, give praises to the Lord through the songs that I sing.
Wow.
And I think that concludes what I have to share. I mean, I have so much to share, but I think this will help a lot of mothers out there, and I hope it will, to let them know that in spite of the loss, that they can still find the peace and the life to go on. because God's got good things for us in store. There's a purpose for us, whatever it may be. And again, at the same time, it's a challenge too. But He gave us the grace, He gave us the wisdom, the knowledge, the ability to go forward and to be able to share. So I'm glad to share my story.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Mm-hmm. It was a miraculous story. Really.
Thank you.
I'm going to hit stop.